Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Get into the Who Can Change the Rockets' Fortune in just a moment. I had a second helping here of the couscous from Mendocino. This is so good.
Really, I mean, everything was tasty, but I didn't have the couscous. It looks kind of like baby corn.
It does. Doesn't taste anything like baby corn. It's delicious. You know what's really good on those Mendocino farms? I know that's probably not their specialty. Their tomatoes are fantastic.
Yeah, even in the salad, the small little tomatoes were really good.
The cherry tomatoes?
Cherry tomatoes. That's what I was looking for, yes.
Question, is there any avenue for the Astros to work into the lineup that has Caratini and Yiner like they did last year? If Yordan is almost full-time DH, it'll be hard, but I hate that Caratini will be losing at bats this year. It'd be difficult without injury. Maybe a Walker day off. Maybe a Yordan in left field day. I think Altuve is still going to play some second. So maybe you can open up DH every now and then.
You know what? I was going to throw that at you. What do you think? I was thinking about this when we had this conversation the other day. Kind of like the bet you and I made last year with Yordan and how many games he would play in left field. Mm-hmm. How many games, what's a good over-under for how many games Altuve plays in left field this year? 70?
I'm taking the over.
I think so. I am too. Boston the Gloss were kicking this around as I was leaving, and I was like, I definitely think it's more than half the games.
If he stays healthy, let's say like percentage of his starts, I think he starts 75% of his starts in left field. Like I argue with Manny on Twitter, Manny Fresh. Mm-hmm. He thinks that Jose Altuve is going to play zero games in left field. No, man. He's going to play more in left than he will at second.
I would bet that in a heartbeat. I'll take the other side of that.
Yeah. So I bookmarked it so I can put him on Bad Take Boulevard whenever it happens.
Did you ask to bet him?
No, I didn't ask
him. He might pay out. He's a good guy.
Maybe so. Probably would. I trust him. But I didn't put that out there. I think Caratini's going to be a left-handed bat off the bench. And maybe because he's not going to start as much, maybe it means Singleton won't be on the roster. Like the Twitch is saying, why is Singleton on this team? He's on the team because he's left-handed bat off the bench. But if Caratini's just going to be that guy and not start as much, maybe that makes Singleton disposable. We'll see.
Especially if Caratini hits the ball like he did a year ago.
He was solid. Like, I don't want to overrate
Caratini. But I didn't expect anything from him offensively, and maybe that's kind of the after effects of having a Maldi. Mm-hmm. But he hit the ball with some pop, and he had a good enough season that I don't mind his bat.
Yeah, 113 OPS plus is well above average, and then he's also catching, so like there's a premium for that. Mm-hmm. That's why I wanted, and I'm fine with Walker, obviously. I'm happy with what they did. That's why I was up for the idea of just making Caratini your everyday catcher and moving Yiner to first base. But I like this. I like this, too. I like Christian Walker as your first baseman. I mean, it's going to take injury, I think, for Caratini to get many starts. Although I did hear Espada say he wants to give Yiner more days off. He feels like he wore him out last year. So,
okay. Yeah, we talked about during the course of the season that we thought that it had an adverse effect on his offensive game. So,
and a lot of times, too, like, I mean, catchers, the most iron men of catchers are only starting like 4 of every 5 games at max.
I think it's smart. I mean, we talk about load management in the NBA, but I think especially because of how grueling a position catcher is, I don't think they should be catching like 140, 50 games. I think they should be in the 110 and give them the time to kind of rest their body.
Texter asks, how is Wilt Chamberlain not the greatest ever with his stats? I would argue that that's a fair argument.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you can't criticize him because he came along at a time where there weren't a lot of guys close to his size, and Bill Russell wasn't even close to his size, but he was dominant.
His numbers are incredible. His numbers are the best numbers ever. Mm-hmm. He gets docked because of that argument. Like, the centers he were playing were plumbers in the offseason.
Right.
He also gets docked a little bit for the championships.
A lot of people said that they were working during the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Will wouldn't.
No. Will, I mean, wouldn't. Some of these other guys.
I asked Elvin Hayes, mm-hmm. Go Cougs, one of the greatest of all time. I asked him who he thought was the best player ever. He said Bill Russell, which I disagree with him. But I think he said Bill Russell because that was the toughest guy that defended him.
Okay. And maybe like team as a team player and with the championships they won, maybe that ropes into it. It's like saying that you're going to criticize Shaq because he was the most physically dominant player of his era. And his era lasted a pretty long time. Like, no one could even come close to his physicality. That's not on him. And then they started calling the game differently around, in games he played because they felt it was so unfair. He was that physically dominant.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, his numbers are through the roof. CBS Sports had this article, Who Can Change the Fortunes of NBA Teams? Like, they had Luka for the Lakers, they had Jimmy Butler for the Warriors, Joel Embiid for the Sixers, Chet for the Thunder, Jamal Murray for the Nuggets, and then Kyle Kuzma for Milwaukee. They didn't mention the Rockets, but to localize this topic, who do you think can change the fortune for the Rockets?
For the rest of the season?
Yeah, or you can kind of answer it however you want, but I think that the article was more this season.
Yeah, because they didn't do anything that brought anybody in that you can say is going to be impactfully making a difference like a Kuzma might make in Milwaukee or some of the other guys that you mentioned. I think that when you look at it from the Rockets' perspective, I think there's a couple of guys that come to my mind, and one of them is the guy that I've been focused on all season long. I just think that if Cam Whitmore ever gets it straight between his ears, he could be a guy coming off the bench that can give you offense and energy and versatility and do a lot of things for you that I think that this team sorely needs, especially because their bench play of late hasn't given them what I think that they've gotten in spurts. But I think that if he could just stop all the sideshows and just focus on basketball and being a contributor, he has all the tools to where I think he could make a big difference in this team. And I think that other than that, it's just trying to identify one of your big three or four players that can be that consistent guy. It might be the fact that, and if the easy answer might be Fred VanVleet, just because getting him back might be able to kind of settle things down when they fall apart in the fourth quarter.
I think it's Amen Thompson. Now, maybe there's not enough runway this year for that to be the case, and maybe short term it is more Fred VanVleet to kind of stabilize mm-hmm. them a bit, because it does feel like they lost their stabilizer
yep.
without Fred VanVleet. I don't think Fred VanVleet's a great point guard, but maybe it's the fact that they just don't really have another point guard. Like, Amen's not a true point capable of playing it, but more of a positionless player, and he's so good that he can do it. Aaron Holiday, I like Aaron Holiday from a veteran presence. I think you can do far worse as a backup point guard, but he's a backup point guard. When they lost Fred VanVleet, they lost their stabilizer, I bet. So short term, I have no problem with that answer. I think long term, and maybe there is enough time this season, I think it's Amen Thompson. Because Amen Thompson, to me, has the highest ceiling of anybody on this team. Alpi Şengün's an all-star. I think Alpi Şengün's kind of at his ceiling. Maybe he can get a little bit better. But do I think Alpi Şengün can be a top-five player in the NBA? No. I think he can be an all-star. Jalen Green, can he be a top-five player in the NBA? No. I think Jalen has all-star potential, too. I don't think he has top-five in the game potential. If in 3 years Amen Thompson's a top-five player in the league because he's a baby Giannis, that would not shock me at all.
Yeah, I think that in terms of – I understand what you're saying because we saw him start consistently make threes a little bit more comfortably, and they look very fluid. He has the most upside to actually be a superstar in this league. I think that Jalen and Şengün can both be – very high-end, really, really good players in this league. But we keep saying, and I keep specifically saying, when is one of these or both of these guys going to step up and show, grab the bull by the horns and say, I am legitimately an all-star, superstar caliber player? We still haven't seen it. I think what we've seen in terms of how quickly the progression has been, a man the first year I expected nothing out of, except for maybe some minutes here and there to kind of get his feet wet in the league. All of a sudden, he's taking quantum leaps. And now we're seeing a guy that's a gym rat that's actually working on his game to a level in which his jumper is starting to develop where we thought he might never have the ability to shoot an open face-up jumper. And you start saying, with all the other tools that are in his tool belt, he could be that guy.
Yeah, I'm a big Amen guy. I think he has the highest ceiling for sure. I want him to be involved a little bit more offensively, especially whenever they're going through a bit of drought. It's like, if Jalen Green's not having a good shooting night, which we know he has the ebbs and flows. Şengün, like, I don't want to say I love Şengün because I don't think I love Şengün. I like me some Şengün. But at the same time, Şengün makes me bang my head against the wall.
Oh, no doubt.
Careless with the ball at times. Sometimes he doesn't finish. He's a very good player. Like, it sounds like I'm hating on the guy because I'm hating on the guy. I think he's very good. But I think he's careless with the ball at times. I think he doesn't finish at the rim at times. I think he takes bad shots at times. And I also think he's a liability defensively, even though the advanced defensive numbers don't back that up. Amin, to me, is the aircraft carrier for the Houston Rockets. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. You texters, what you're saying about Wilt Chamberlain, GOAT, plumber, not reading that stuff on the air. Very funny, but not reading that on the air. Texter, Shaq was a dominating force that Hakeem swept right out of the finals. Shaq would call Hakeem the greatest ever.
He would. He has always been extremely respectful and complimentary of all the guys he likes to put down. He has always been a massive Hakeem fan.
He's a big fan. I think they shared an agent, too.
He gave Yao a lot of props when they went head-to-head.
Eventually.
Well, he started with something that he shouldn't have said. But
what did he say?
It was just a slur.
I can't remember what it was.
It was.
I remember it happening, but I don't remember the way. Don't say it.
Yeah, no. And so from that point on, he was always complimentary of Yao.
Remember whenever Charles Barkley said he would kiss a donkey's butt if Yao scored 20 in a game?
But I told you that. Like Yao's first game in Indiana, or it was one of his first games, we were in Indiana, and he was so bad, and we were so embarrassed. We got on the plane, and I texted my buddy that's the head of PR for the league that used to be our PR guy, and I go, you're going to have a massive problem on your hands. This guy's going to be the worldwide leading vote getter for the All-Star game, and he's terrible right now. And then thankfully, he kind of got comfortable and got, you know, understood the NBA game and got better and became a hell of a player. But man, those first couple of games, we were like, oh boy.
Yeah, he did. He was a little sluggish, a little slow. Took him a little while to get adjusted to the speed of the game, but I loved him. Todd Şengün is not long enough. He's 6'11 with no wingspan. I think he's long enough, but he does lack vertical leap. Like, I think you can get away with his size and his wingspan if he was a leaper, but he's not really a leaper. I saw somebody on Twitter the other day said that Alpi Şengün's not a 5, he's a 4. Maybe offensively, but let's see what Alpi Şengün looks like trying to defend some of the 4s in this league. He would get abused.
His foot speed has no chance against some of the kind of stretch 4s that are in this league. The way that the power forward position has evolved to include putting the ball on the floor and facing up, he would get absolutely his doors blown off. The thing that I don't like is I'm a little concerned that if he starts getting his accolades like All-Stars and things like that, that he starts feeling too good about himself, that he's not afraid to like embarrass his teammates on the floor and point fingers.
Yeah, I don't think he's that.
I don't like him. I don't like him when he's constantly looking for a replay review every time a call doesn't go his way. But I hate it more if he's going to sell out his own teammates.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't happen. Texture, I wanted the Taco Bell Shaq versus Hakeem 1-on-1. I did too. That would have been awesome. And they got that because they shared the same agent. But then remember it got canceled.
Oh, that's right. They were actually going to go through with it.
Yeah, play a little 1-on-1. Yep. I think they came out with the double decker around the same time, if memory serves. AJ's too young. AJ, when were you born?
The double decker.
2002.
The double decker taco. Remember, it was soft shell, soft taco surrounding the crunchy taco.
Yeah.
They brought that back recently. I think the double decker.
Really, I hadn't heard of it.
You never heard of the double decker from Taco Bell?
No.
Man, it's. I think you can get it right now.
Really?
I mean, it's very mid, but it is a Taco Tuesday.
That's true.
What do you get from Taco Bell, Age?
Well, I don't really eat Taco Bell too much. To me, I like to, you know, stay in shape and stuff. But like when they had the nacho fries, sometimes they're kind of solid.
Nacho
like,
fries aren't bad. What do you get from Taco Bell?
I get the bean burritos.
Same. Yeah, bean burrito, but add beef. I add beef to them.
Do you?
Yeah.
I add extra onions and
I get rid of
red sauce.
You can get mine. You can have my onions. I don't get the onions. I don't like raw onions. The taco sauce is good then. That's the old faithful there at Taco Bell. The old bean burrito, add beef is the way to go.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but you can actually ask them to grill it longer so it gets a little bit, you know, because I like my burritos that are on the tortilla skillet that get a little bit toastier.
You like the tortilla a little brown.
Huh?
Kind of like you like your co-host.
They can do that for you.
There you go.
You said 5%.
You said you were born when?
2002.
Okay. That's not too bad. I graduated high school in 2003. I feel so old. All right, moving on.
I certainly don't.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's cash them or trash them next. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a killer bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash them or trash them with the bees. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. Double Deckers, the cheesy Gordito Crunch now. And it's still pretty good. I don't think so. I think they're different.
Same game, different names? I wouldn't think Taco Bell would do that.
I think they brought back Double Decker recently. Double Decker Taco would go hard right now.
It's like bringing Brandon back the McRib. They don't change the name of it. They just bring it back too much.
Brandon T definitely was the Double Decker Taco, and I remember them riding the twin bike in the commercial. I do remember that now. I had forgot about it until you mentioned it. But you remember that?
Oh, Shaq and Dream, yeah.
I think they were wearing that little hat with the little fan on it.
Like a pinwheel hat?
Yeah. Pretty sure that they were.
Okay. I'm sure you could look it up.
Yeah. I agree. Alpi's a four. He gets dominated no matter what position. Defense sucks. Agree with what y'all said about them. All right, cash them or trash them. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-ESPN. What you got, Blake?
Well, very apropos because of the reactions of today's spring training results. Cam Smith's going to be an Astro on the big league roster by June 1st.
I think it's too quick. I'll trash it. I think there's a chance we see him this year.
I think we see him before the All-Star break this year, but I was just wondering if we see him in July or June.
I still think that both of them are under 50%.
Huh.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things that have to happen for that to happen. He's got to crush the baseball, like, and just be banging down the door. You also need the outfielders to be bad, maybe injury, too. Injury, like, you need all of those things to happen, or two of those three things to happen. So, I think it's possible. I wouldn't say by June 1st. So, I'm gonna trash that one.
AJ, do you want to vote?
I guess I'll trash it. Yeah.
Well, thanks, AJ. I don't think you even know. How about that?
I casually follow baseball.
You just know AJ Blue Ball.
No, oh, my gosh, bro.
Well, I have to deal with this every day.
Yeah, that nickname is crazy.
Yeah.
We each have to deal with things every day.
Yeah, but yours is like glee and happiness.
I love it.
Christian Walker will be better offensively than Alex Bregman in 2025.
Cash it. Totally believe that. People are overhyping Bregman's start to the spring training. We all know that he always gets a pass for the first month or whatever his slow starts are. I think he's going to slow start or have a slow, some kind of a patch in the middle. I think that Christian Walker's set for a really big offensive year here.
Let's track this one, OPS Plus. Walker had a 121 OPS Plus last year. Bregman had a 118. Now, Bregman is going to Fenway, where he has, which is a better hitting ballpark than Houston. Metrics last year had Boston as the second best hitting ballpark in all of baseball behind Coors Field. So Bregman is getting aided by a better park. Minute Maid in Arizona. Arizona's actually a little bit better than Minute Maid. Now, so I think it'll be close, but I think Walker will be better offensively. Let me go one step further. Isak Paredes will be better offensively than Alex Bregman.
I'd love to say yes, but I'm going to trash that.
Yeah, I'll be watching it to see if the Astros upgraded offensively at third. Bregman last year, 118 OPS plus. Paredes was 112. So Paredes was lesser last year than Alex Bregman. 713-780-ESPN. A few cash-ems or trash-ems on the text line. Anyone who doesn't eat Taco Bell is a bum. Cash or trash?
This is probably going to be a really hot take, but I can't say that. It's closer than people think for me with Taco Bell and Chipotle. Chipotle has more. Taco Bell used to have an adverse effect on me. Chipotle has an adverse effect on me now. Taco Bell is more stabilized. I don't mind Taco Bell. I used to hate it.
Chipotle and Taco Bell do not belong in the same conversation. Like they're very different places.
They are.
Very different places. Yesterday, I walked to get lunch, and I went to Velvet Taco.
Heard of it. Never had it.
Life-changing.
Really?
Because they had a Chipotle. I was going to walk into Chipotle, and I was going to pick up a Chipotle bowl, and they had Chipotle and Velvet Taco right by each other. And I think I've had Velvet Taco like once, like a long, long time ago. But on the window, they showed that they had their new bowls. So I was like, why not? Why not try this? I can get Chipotle whenever I want. There is a Velvet Taco right down the road from us, but I hadn't had it in a while. It's like, let me change it up. Let me try something new. So I walk in there. I try the one of their bowls. They had a chimichurri steak bowl. Oh,
good portions too.
life-changing. Yeah, they were solid. Probably less than Chipotle's portions, but they were a little cheaper than Chipotle's portions. And the taste? My goodness. Life-changing. Life-changing. AJ's nodding his head. Yes, you've dabbled in the Velvet Taco, haven't you?
No, I've heard of it, though. I'm going to have to check it out because I like those bowls. From
I didn't realize it was a chain. Is it like across the nation or just Southwest?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, because I've heard of Velvet Taco in Houston. I didn't realize that it was more of a chain.
I'm not that adverse with the Velvet Taco. I think I've had it twice in my life, most recently yesterday. That chimichurri staple, I tell you what, man. I will put that, cash or trash this, that chimichurri steak bowl better than any fast casual bowl on the market.
Ooh.
On the market.
We don't know until we try it. So.
You gotta try it.
I have to try it first, but also that's...
Is Chicken Kitchen
a fast casual?
I've never been to a Chicken Kitchen.
Chicken Kitchen's so good.
Where are they? Where are
there's one in West U. There's a Chicken Kitchen in West U, and they started to spread out across the city.
Oh, okay.
There were two Rice grads that did it for their MBA.
I think there's one in Rice Village, right?
That's what I said, in West U.
I've never... Oh, West U and Rice Village are the same thing?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I stay out of Rice. I'm not smart enough.
They're really good.
I've driven by
Chicken Kitchen a lot.
What do you get there?
Get the chicken and brown rice bowl.
Oh, these look pretty good.
And you can add tomato, and you can add all kinds of fresh fixings. Yeah, Chicken Kitchen's really good.
This looks good. I don't think it's better than Velvet Taco. And I've never tried this, so. I mean, I'm just going off appearance here. Don't judge a book by its cover. That Velvet Taco, I want some Velvet Taco right now. So good. Not as good as Mendocino Farms, though. Cash or Trash, Verlander becomes the last pitcher to win 300 games. He's at 262 right now.
Man, I will cash it. It is going to be razor thin. I just think that... If he better be a whole hell of a lot better than he was when he finished his last year here. And with even still, with that being said, with longevity and his ability to get through at least five innings, it's going to be super tight. I think he may squeak into 300 wins, but I don't think it was as easy as I thought it was going to be a couple years ago.
I don't think he's going to make it there. I'm going to trash this on the sense that Verlander doesn't get to 300 wins.
Okay.
I think he's going to try to chase it. I just don't see Verlander winning 38 more games in his career.
It's, like I said, the fact that if he's anything close to what he was at the end of last year, he struggled to get through five. So I think that he's got everything, including Father Time, working against him. And Lord knows, you know, his velocity's down. I don't know what, you know, as much as he's taken care of himself and had a rubber arm, I easily could see him not getting even close to this, too, and being done in a couple of years.
So he needs 38 wins, right? 262 now.
He's also with a team that's not great.
Yeah, they're going to be kind of maybe 85-win team.
Yeah.
So he needs 38 wins. And, like, let's assume that Verlander stays the same, which is a major assumption. Major assumption. Because pitchers in their 40s usually get worse, not stay the same. But let's assume he stays the same. Verlander won five games last year. He won 13 games in 23, so that's 18. He won 18 games when he won the Cy Young in 22. Like, that's a major
never get
reach.
Close to that again.
So that's, what is that? That's 36 wins. That's 36 wins over the next 3 years. He needs 38 wins. Like, he's going to be 40. This is his age 42 season. So if he's pitching at the, like, even if he matches his previous 3 year. Yeah,
he's done. He's not getting
it. Even if he matches his previous 3 years' performance, which one of those years is including a Cy Young, he's still shy of that and would be chasing 300 at the age of 45.
Yeah, he's not getting it.
I don't think he's going to get there.
I think he could be done. I think he'd be done pitching in the major leagues in the next 2 years.
I mean, what if he's injury prone again this year and has another year where he's a 5.5 ERA guy? He might he might not get signed.
Nope. I think it's the two. I think there's a legit chance he's done out of baseball in 2 years.
I think so too. Cash him or trash him. McCullers will play this year.
Cash him.
Yeah, I think he'll play. I don't think it's fair to assume that he's going to be any good, but I do think he'll play. Hopefully he's good. But I even if he has a 4.50 ERA, wouldn't shock me. I'd be more surprised with a 4.50 ERA than a 3.25 ERA.
Yeah, I'm just curious in terms of his stuff. You know, the breaking stuff was elite in the past, and with everything that's happened with his arm and his endurance level of being able to sustain with everything with the surgeries, I question his stuff being anywhere close to where it was.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Like, that's another one. Like, people are assuming Lance McCullers is going to come back and pitch to his career norm.
Right.
Why would you assume that? He's older. He's surgically repaired. He hasn't pitched in 2 years. I think it's incredibly unfair to think he's going to pitch to his career norm. Texans get a big-time receiver, Cash or Trash.
Well, they already have a big-time receiver. His name's Nico Collins.
Well, you know what you meant.
I will... What's big-time? Like another, like, 1A?
It's tough.
I'll trash it. I don't think they get another 1A.
Does Stephon Diggs count as a big-time receiver?
See, that's what I was going to say. He's more of a 2 to me.
I think it's a big name, cachet-wise.
Yeah. Like Garrett Wilson. I would love Garrett Wilson, but I don't think they're trading to get Garrett Wilson. I don't think the Jets are giving him up now.
No, I don't think so either. Garrett Wilson would definitely qualify as a big name.
Oh, no doubt, and I'd love it.
I'll say trash with the caveat that if you consider Diggs big time, I think there's a chance they bring Diggs back. Cash or trash, Tucker and Bregman going to have the worst seasons of their career this year?
I will... Of their career?
Yeah.
I'll trash it because of that.
Yeah, I'll trash both of them. I think both of them would be good-ish.
I'm afraid Bregman might have a good year.
I mean, Fenway's going to help him. Yep. Fenway's a major offensive ballpark. Velvet Taco is fire. It is. You ever tried a bowl from Cava? I have. I like Cava.
I've never been to Cava.
Cava's good. It's good. It's not, like, I would put that bowl I had, the chimichurri steak bowl, at Velvet Taco at like a 9.3.
Wow.
I put Cava with like a 7.1. Still good. I mean, I still like Cava, but it's not as good. Hot take, infield markedly better than last year as a group. Three-time Gold Glove replaces Bregg. Who's the three-time Gold Glove?
Okay, that's Christian Walker.
Yeah, it's a little different. He's not replacing Bregg. Paredes replaces Blackhold first. Defense better at second. Okay, so will the infield defense be better this year than last year? Let's go with that.
I will say yes. Because you get rid of Altuve, and you get rid of the debacle that was first base all year defensively.
Yeah.
And I don't expect Pena to be worse than he was last year. I think he'll be better. And so even if Paredes is a little less than Bregman, I think that it will be better.
Yeah, I'm gonna cash that too. I think it will be better. Qdoba is better than them all. I'll trash that.
I've had that. I wasn't impressed.
It'd be solid. It's okay. It's not better than all of them though. Brandon T, cash or trash? Fresh chicharrones over tortilla chips with queso.
Explain, please.
Chicharrones are the like the pork skins.
Oh no.
Pork rinds.
Yeah, no.
Pork
chips, rinds. Chips and queso.
I like chicharrones. But I rather have tortilla chips. Mm-hmm. Chicharrones are real big if you're like on keto because they don't have any carbs. They have tons of fat.
Yeah.
But they don't have any carbs.
My dad used to sit there and watch TV eating those pork rinds.
My grandpa would.
Nasty.
I call him Papi. Papi would eat those chicharrones all the time. He also grew serrano peppers and ate those things raw with his dinner. Talk about a dude.
No doubt.
Talk about a dude.
Leonard Armato was the agent that represented both Dream and Shaq.
Was it?
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that in the book, that Mirren, whatever her name
Mirren
was.
Mirren Fader.
Cash or Trash, Freebird's better than great than a Velvet Taco. Trash.
I used to like Freebird.
I used
then
to
they
love
started Birds. Closing up.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if is there still that one right there where Shepherd Plaza used to be?
I thought
right
so.
Off 59 and Shepherd?
I used to love Freebirds. I used to be a Freebird stan.
I used to eat there at least once a week for lunch.
But I've been out on Freebirds. I haven't been there in a while. Cash or Trash, Bregman comes back to the Astros after his contract with Boston.
Trash. To do what?
Play baseball.
Yeah, like in what degree? At what level?
I'm going to trash it too. But I mean, I do think that it's plausible. Like, Bregman's probably going to play with another team again. Like, I don't think he finishes his career in Boston.
No, I don't either. But I don't know that they're going to do any of these, like, reunion tours.
Nah. Yeah, I mean, I trash it. But I would say it's not.
Like, at that point in time with a team that's still somewhat analytically driven. I just don't know where they go. Well, there's value there. Let's bring him back to play where? To do what?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be 3 years down the road probably. Is Cam Smith your third baseman? Is he in right? Maybe you're looking for a second baseman at that point.
I was
going to
say maybe second, like, but if Matthews might be that guy?
I think it's a greater than 1% chance. But for me to cash it, it's got to be better than a 50%
chance.
Yeah,
I'm not cashing it.
I'm going to trash it. Rockets are going to win 52 games this year, last one.
I already said no. They're not.
You said no today?
I trash it. I've said it all year.
No.
And then everybody was hammering me when they got hot. Well, they're not so hot now.
What's their pace? What are we looking at here?
Hit the 35-22 right now.
35-22. Yeah. So their win percentage, 35-22. You're looking at a 614 win percentage.
Nope.
82 times 614. People love when I do math on the air.
Say it with me, people.
50-win pace. 50-win pace. And they're also probably trending more down than they are up.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it. I'm going to trash it. What was the over-under, though? Like 44? I feel good about that.
I do. Yeah, I do think it was low.
It was like 44?
Yeah.
I have a ticket on it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Someone ranked the Midwest states in the U.S. Do you agree with this list? And where does Wisconsin rank? Can't imagine why we'd be talking about Wisconsin. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get to the worst Midwest states in the country in a second. Texture, cash or trash, queso and chips greater than salsa and chips.
It's a no-brainer. Queso and chips is like all world. I like salsa and chips, but queso and chips, especially, and I'm a queso connoisseur being a cheddar head and all that and a cheese head, but man, I'll tell you what, that's ridiculous. Queso and chips is a slam dunk.
I trash it. I think I'd rather have salsa and chips.
Really?
Yeah. I like salsa and chips a little bit more than queso
and
chips.
You get the queso with the chopped tomato and onion and all that? Man,
You get the salsa with the chopped jalapeno, chopped tomato, chopped onion.
Jalapenos in the queso?
A little bit of cilantro in there, maybe some garlic. Give me salsa. Give me salsa over queso. Both are very good.
AJ, where are you coming from?
I love queso. I've always loved queso since I was young. So.
How do you feel about salsa?
Salsa's solid, but I always prefer queso.
Do you like spice?
I love spice.
Okay. All right. I was going to disqualify you if you didn't like spice, but since you like spice, I can't say a whole lot. All right. So I came across this on Twitter the other day. This Twitter handle, Midwest versus Everybody. Terrible Twitter handle. Like, what a boring Twitter where you're just like talking about the Midwest all the time.
But can't handle it, huh?
They were ranking the Midwest states in the country. And apparently there's 12 Midwest states. I haven't spent a whole lot of time in any of these states because I try to stay out of the Midwest as much as I can. But they ranked the Midwest states 1 through 12.
Get your ass kicked in
Wisconsin. What?
You can get your ass kicked in Wisconsin.
What do you mean?
It's going to Czechoslovakia is like going to Wisconsin. You got your ass kicked in Wisconsin. It's a line from the movie Stripes. It's very famous.
Oh, I didn't. I don't think I've seen that movie. Oh. But anyways, they ranked the Midwest states 1 through 12. Here, just hammering through the list here real quick. Indiana 1, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, and then dead last, bottom of the barrel, scraping the bottom of the heap, Wisconsin.
This is ludicrous, and I know exactly why you picked this when you saw Wisconsin as dead last.
No,
like, any time that you put Wisconsin below North and South Dakota is a joke. Missouri, ridiculous. Have some metropolitan cities. Have some culture and some entertainment. Like, there is nothing on the planet to do in North and South Dakota. I think that Minnesota and Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois are all above Indiana. Not only just because of the Big Ten and all the sports and everything like that, but Indiana's another one. Like, give me the metropolitan areas that you can go to in Indiana as opposed to Chicago and Illinois. Iowa should be much lower, too. Kansas should be much lower, too. Michigan, even though Detroit's an armpit, and Minnesota, because they have Minneapolis, should be higher. And everybody else should be below that. Wisconsin's got Madison and Milwaukee. This list is a joke.
I think North Dakota and South Dakota are too low. Like, yes, they do a lot of meth there and stuff, but it's like beautiful. It's a beautiful area. You get the Enchanted Highway in North Dakota. The wildlife is gorgeous. South Dakota, you got the Badlands. You got Mount Rushmore. I think the Dakota should be higher on this list, but I appreciate nature. I don't need the big city. I would have North Dakota 1, South Dakota 2.
Do you appreciate streetlights and being able to see things at night when you're driving? Because in North Dakota and South Dakota, there's a slim chance of doing that.
My vehicle has lights. I don't need streetlights.
Oh, try driving up by the Continental Divide with no lights at night and seeing how fun that is.
I mean, a truck has lights.
Right, but okay.
Yeah, give me the Dakotas.
The
Dakotas.
Give you them where?
At the top of this list.
At the top of this list. That's why you probably should stay out of the Midwest.
I'll take the Dakotas over Wisconsin, over Missouri, over Minnesota. No problem. Yeah. No problem with that. I don't know. You don't like nature as much as I do.
Oh, okay. You're right. Because I grew up on one of the Great Lakes, but I hate nature. Like, that's ridiculous in itself. You need the best of all worlds. You can have nature, but you can also have a big city, and you can have farms in between, and you can have lots of different things to do, like and the four seasons and all the other things that were, you know, that look nature-y, that are about nature. But tell me that all you have is nature in North Dakota and South Dakota, and I'll say, yeah, that's right.
Why do I need a big city? Like, once I'm done working, I want to live far away from a big city on a plot of land and never leave that land.
I think you're more of a rarity than you are a common...
You think?
That's a common opinion. I don't think that's a common opinion at all.
Okay. That's why, you know, we have different lists, I guess. Give me the Dakotas. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Kelly Eco, talk some Rockets when we return. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm getting crushed for never seeing the movie Stripes. What year was Stripes made?
I don't even remember. Bill Murray, Harold Ramos.
Oh, you know what? I have seen parts of it. I've seen parts of it. I've never seen it start to finish. Yeah, I have seen parts of it. I've never seen it start to finish, though. I'll have to check it out. Where can I find it?
I mean,
you have the VHS of it, or
maybe somewhere in storage.
Let me. I think I still have a VCR somewhere in the garage.
There you go.
713-780-ESPN. Have you seen Stripes? What am I missing out here? Kelly Eco joining us on the HRMP guest line. We'll talk some Rockets, but Kelly, have you seen Stripes? Or are you a millennial like me?
Kelly, you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm laughing. You hear me?
Yeah. You didn't see the movie Stripes?
I did.
What would you rate it? 1 to 10?
7.
Okay. That's not great.
There you go.
It's not, I mean, 7 is not great.
It's not bad.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay
not, it's
is
not
5.
Terrible. Like, yeah, I wouldn't get up and walk out of the theater, but I'd probably take a nap or two.
Ooh. Taking a nap or two and you give it a 7? You got a high bar there, Kelly.
I mean, for some people, that's kind of their thing. Like, you go to the movies, get your popcorn, get your food. You might doze off for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, wake up, you know, check back in.
Dang. All right. Kelly Eco covers the Rockets in the NBA, doesn't think highly of Stripes, all for the Athletic. We were talking about this earlier, Kelly, like who can lift the Rockets? I saw some people talking about other teams and like Luka can lift the Lakers. Who could be that guy for the Rockets that could lift them down the stretch here?
In terms of lift, I don't really think they have anybody to do that per se. It has to be a collective effort. When you're a team like the Rockets that don't have that A1 go-to guy, like a Luka or LeBron, like you have to rely on the strength of your team as a whole to get through this last 20 or so games. Because up until this point, they've gotten to where they are by embracing the collective. Like, there isn't a quote-unquote guy to go to in the clutch. You may have talked about this is an equal opportunity offense, and whoever has it going is going to be the one that's going to finish the game. So I think down the stretch, while you're going to obviously going to lean on the experience of guys like a Van Vliet or, you know, a Dylan Brooks, as far as actual on-court abilities, I don't think anybody's above anyone else.
Kel, I'm curious. We are again dealing with the curiosity surrounding the career of Cam Whitmore. And we come out of the All-Star break, and Cam is barely scratching the surface, and his body language is still showing you he's disinterested. I said he's a guy that could be that guy down the stretch if he could just get it right between his ears because there's so much talent there.
Right.
Is there any hope of him becoming a factor off the bench again between now and the end of the season?
I think so. I think one thing that I've seen, you know, this season is that when Ime, like, picks guys out of the rotation, he always gives them a chance to come back in. And I think because of the injuries that they've had this season to guys like Tari, Jabari, Fred, there's always going to be opportunities to get minutes. Now, what you do with those minutes is going to determine, you know, how long you stay in that rotation. But I do think just because of what Cam brings on the floor, like he's an incredible floor spacer. Obviously, he's talented going downhill. Athletic is powerful. The only thing with Cam is that, and that's the one thing that they've tried to work on this year, is the level of readiness in terms of how you approach the game when the ball's not in your hand, how you approach the game when you miss your first three shots, or if a teammate doesn't see you in the corner on the fast break? Like, how do you approach those next possessions? That's kind of been the focus with him, you know, from an internal standpoint this season. But I do think that, yes, he can be a guy that you can go to because of his unique skill set, but it's got to be a marriage of opportunity and readiness. I think he's a young player, so he has shown frustration at times when he's not playing, and, you know, the coaching staff is aware of that. I think he may kind of embrace the edge that he plays with, like the attitude, he kind of embraces that. But in terms of actually getting on the floor, I think it's going to take, you know, maybe another injury or two if you really want to see Cam get minutes between now and the end of the season. Just consistent minutes, I think.
Fans aren't going to be happy about that one. Kelly Eco joining us on the HR&P guest line, covers the NBA and the Rockets for The Athletic. What do you think is the ceiling this year for the Rockets?
I think they're a first-round team. I mean, I just think when you struggle to score in the half court as they have all season long, and when you struggle to shoot from the perimeter all season long, when you get to the playoffs, teams that have watched you all year, they already know the defense has to dial up to punish you, which is going zone, blitzing them, because they know that 9 times out of 10, they're not going to beat you from the outside. And if they do, you tip your cap. Like, if you see a lot of the lineup that Ime runs out there, oftentimes it has 2 to 3 players who aren't considered spacers, right? Like, you might have a man out there with Steven Adams, and you might throw Tate or Tart. Like, you might throw different options out there that give you good defensive versatility, but from an offensive standpoint, it's going to be, you're going to almost labor for offense. So I do think that if they get the wrong matchup, like currently they're locked into the Lakers right now. If they were to play the Lakers tomorrow, I think that series is 5 games. I just don't see the Lakers. That would be a problem that they wouldn't want to deal with on a night-to-night basis, having to scheme up defenses to stop both LeBron and Luka for a 7-game series. I think that would be a really quick series. They would have to get lucky in terms of matchups, who they see in the first round. Because the way they play, it's not really a playoff style. Like it doesn't see forecast a lot of playoff success unless they magically flip the switch from being an inefficient half court team to an efficient one.
So Cal, the biggest struggle that frustrates me throughout the season has been their inability to finish games. Whether it's closing out games in the final 3 minutes, or the fact that their fourth quarters have been less than stellar, whether they're winning by 7 or down but have a chance to come back. And we were talking about the other day, like, it's easy to point the finger at if Jalen is having one of those nights and he's turning the ball over and not shooting it well, or, you know, that they get into iso ball a lot. But then there was also the criticism of, is it at some point the coaches too, when they don't know how many timeouts they have in the Cleveland game, or that they can run the baseline? How is that fixable between now and the end of the regular season to try and at least avoid a Laker matchup, or kind of get back up into that top four with home court advantage?
I think so. I think getting Jabari back is a start, because you get some more balance in terms of how Ime likes to structure his sets, and in terms of their proficiency on the offensive glass. And their ability to just be a defensive, versatile unit. Like, Jabari can switch 1 through 5 and has been able to have some success by doing so. So just being able to be in that position, you know, in late games, whenever the game seemingly slows down and you can draw things up, at times you've seen the Rockets kind of run a kind of bland offense, right? And that comes down to, it really comes down to them not having a go-to guy. Like, if you go and look at the stuff Ime was running for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in Boston end of games, they could be much more creative and much more on the fly because of the skill sets of those two guys. But when you have guys that you don't have a true blue-chip A1 guy, like a star yet, you have to kind of run almost a college-style, high school-level offense to just get equal touches for all the guys on the floor. So I think until they get to that point, you're going to see the fourth quarter struggles. You're going to see the the minus net rating and the clutch time. You got to see all those mishaps. And it's just one of those things as a young growing team you have to kind of go through to get to a space where you can actually emerge from that.
How much can Fred VanVleet change that narrative between now and the end of the season? Because I see a lot of people saying, I mean, it's everything's different. Everything changes when we get Fred VanVleet back. I know that he's Ime's coach on the floor, but how much of this iteration of Fred VanVleet can be a difference maker in those situations?
This would be a lot. Fred is somebody who his leadership and his presence goes way beyond what you see on the floor. In terms of just his organization ability and his ability to teach. I think one of the biggest underlying qualities that Fred has is his ability to be a teacher in real time. Like, he's been able to break down film with these guys because he's been in so many of these games before. He's been in the NBA Finals. He's won the NBA Finals. He understands that now all the basketball you played between October and February is good, but it doesn't really mean anything in the grand scheme of things. Like, everything you do from this point on matters. And that's what teams remember. That's what teams care about. So getting him back in terms of being that floor spacer, being that ball handler, being that savvy defender, even at his size, I think it goes a long way as to why the Rockets have struggled in his absence, because they don't have that older guy on the floor to kind of walk them through possessions and walk them through things. And they're relying on their athleticism and their youth, which can only get you so far. So I think getting Fred back should do a solid job in terms of just bringing them back up to speed and just giving them something that they can look forward to on a night-to-night basis.
Kelly, appreciate the time. If you want to watch Stripes to get a nap in, I encourage you to do so. And I know you're going to be working hard here in this stretch drive, final few weeks of the NBA season.
Thanks, Kel.
Thanks, Joel.
Kelly doesn't know my name.
He got you again.
Yeah. Thanks, Joel. Thanks, guys. Yeah. He has no
Thanks,
idea
age.
Who I am. That's okay. 713-780-ESPN if you want to, you know, mock Kelly at all after he big-leagued me. When we come back, D'Amico Ryans from the Combine. How fired up are you? The Combine this week, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to MacWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MAC25.